Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website livingpianos.com. Question number one, how many pedals are there on pianos? Is it A, 0, B, 2, C, 3, D, all of the above, or E, none of the above? Number of piano pedals. And question number two, how often should a piano be tuned? Is that answer A, not really required if you don't play it often? Is it B, once every couple of years is sufficient? Or is it C, at least twice a year? Piano tunings. The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January 29th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1797, that Franz Schubert was born. This Austrian composer of Ave Maria helped bridge the worlds of the classical and the romantic periods of music with his sacred music, operas, incidental music, piano and chamber music, and over 600 secular vocal works and 7 complete symphonies. Franz Schubert, born today, 1797. And it was 55 years ago today, 1966, that the Bobby Fuller Four's I Fought the Law was released, probably on bail, because, as the lyrics indicate, the law won. That was 1966, today. And in country music news, we have this review of Margo Price's new CD, That's How Rumors Get Started. This is published in The Week magazine, July 24, 2020. Margo Price picked the worst possible time to put out her best album yet, said Robert Harvilla in TheRinger.com. But though COVID-19 delayed the release and quashed any live shows, the singer-songwriter's third studio effort is simply a, quote-unquote, fantastic record. A first sustained foray into rock and roll that's as wounding as it is wounded. The closer, I'd Die for You, is the best song yet from this artist who not long ago was labeled by critics as yet another, quote-unquote, savior of country music. The track is a power ballad at heart, yet has more snarl and distortion and howling vocal bombast than you might expect from Price. Though Price's previous albums yielded no hits, it seems a little mystifying that country radio won't play her, said Alexis Petridis in TheGuardian.com. Rumors is loaded with the kind of grabby, effortlessly commercial melodies that can power songs straight up the charts. Then again, Price also evinces a shape-shifting disinclination to be pigeonholed, whether as a honky-tonk friendly revivalist or a political protest singer. Once again, Margot Price. That's how rumors get started. Jean Sibelius introduces our classical music news. It's entitled Brian Dix, Director Laureate of the U.S. Marine Drum and Bugle Corps, premiered Madame Vice President March online on Sunday. This is written by Pam Cragen on the 20th of January, 2021, in the San Diego Union Tribune. Back in 2008, Marine Corps bandleader Brian Dix got the idea to compose a symphonic piece called Madame President, just in case then-Senator Hillary Clinton were to win the race for the presidency. 13 years later, the San Diego resident has finally premiered a new version of the piece in time for today's inauguration in Washington, D.C. Newly renamed Madame, and then in parentheses, Vice President, the jaunty 5-minute march debuted online Sunday to honor former California Senator Kamala Harris, who today will be sworn in as America's first female vice president. To record the video, Dix recruited 45 women musicians from all over California who volunteered their time filming themselves playing their musical sections. Those videos were then assembled and produced into a finished film produced by Arts Laureate, a recording studio that has flourished over the past year producing, quote-unquote, virtual concerts with quarantine musicians. The video is online at youtube.com/user/artslaureate/videos. Dix spent 30 years in the military as a musician and bandleader. From 1998 until his retirement in December 2015, Dix served as director of the U.S. Marine Drum and Bugle Corps in Washington, D.C., an ensemble also known as the Commandant's Own. During those years, he composed nearly 180 pieces for the band, including 15 original works. Dix said Madame, Vice President, isn't a political statement. Instead, it's dedicated to those extraordinary women who enter the American political arena. To give the piece the right musical tone, he infused it with lively jazz and swing elements. It has to be spirited, and the swing in there is what women do when they're standing alone in the boardroom. They have to jazz things up, he said. Women are the ones who shave the corners off of things to get them moving forward. This is for all of them. With no orchestra to premiere the piece in time for the inauguration, Dix decided a few weeks ago to do it himself, with volunteer help from two fellow Marine veterans, Arts Laureate owner-producer Christian Amundsen and film editor Stephen Bulla. To recruit the musicians, Dick got advice from two women conductors, Sarah Weber and Sonia Marie de Leon de Varga. And then he worked around the clock by phone and email recruiting musicians from San Diego all the way up to Walnut Creek and Santa Clarita to San Jose. Since its premiere on YouTube 3 days ago, Madame Vice President has racked up more than 4,200 views. Dix said he's happy to be able to give Americans something to smile about during extraordinarily dark times. It's been kind of amazing, he said. Music does indeed transcend all politics. I've seen this transpire time and time again. In my work in the Marine Corps, We would go and play overseas in places that needed music, and it really made a difference. Good music goes much further than a PowerPoint and a few cocktail wieners. To see the film, go to YouTube.com, search Arts Laureate, and then click Videos. Take a listen. I think you'll like it. Madam Vice President March by retired Major Brian Dix, USMC. And in jazz music news, we have this article entitled, Jazz Helps New Yorkers Shake Off the Gloom. This is written by Margot Boyer Dry, published in the New York Times on the 27th of November, 2020. New York. Every night after her shift this spring, Bridget Quarell would leave the hospital where she worked as a nurse to find her husband, Luis, waiting to walk her home. As they ambled through an eerily silent Central Park, Quarell would shed the baggage from treating patients during the pandemic's intense peak. The stroll became a highlight of the couple's coronavirus routine, even with the lawns devoid of their usual crowds. When the weather warmed and the virus, for the moment, waned, the sounds of instruments once again rippled through the heavy Manhattan air. It was really emotional, Quarell says. Luis describes it as a black-and-white movie turning to color. For many New Yorkers, in late spring, hearing musicians performing outside again was a welcome sign of hope and resilience. Throughout the summer and into the fall, jazz tunes in particular have become a near constant presence around the city's parks, stoops, and sidewalks. And that real-life soundtrack can make you feel like you're walking through a vintage film by Spike Lee, not a city in crisis. It's easy to get swept up into the New York-y romance of it all until you remember that virtually all of the city's 2,400 indoor performance venues have closed since the coronavirus outbreak at the same time that concert tours have been canceled, putting countless musicians out of work. Even so, these makeshift outdoor shows awaken a sense of connection that has been therapeutic for musicians and fans alike. The communal catharsis reached a new peak on November 7th when crowds descended on Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn to celebrate the call of the presidential election. As musicians played to the champagne-popping throngs, everyone had so much love for each other. I felt like a messenger delivering that feeling to people. While connecting with the community has been a joy, that connection arises out of a necessity. In a survey published by the Jazz Journalist Association last month, 61% of jazz musicians said their 2020 income would be less than half of last year's, and 73% of American jazz musicians said they had no live performances scheduled for 2021. And in pandemic adjustment news, we have this article entitled, Foo Fighters Dave Grohl Salutes Supporters of Save Our Stages Act. The absence of live music this year has left us all longing for that communal feeling of connection, one that is best felt when joined in a song. This is written by Ryan Reed on December 28, 2020, in Rolling Stone magazine. Dave Grohl on Monday expressed a huge heartfelt thank you to supporters of the Save Our Stages Act, which provides approximately $10 billion for independent concert venues amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The funding is part of a long-delayed economic stimulus bill that was signed into law on Sunday. The preservation of America's smaller independent venues is not only crucial to the millions of concertgoers whose lives are bettered by experiencing their favorite artist in the flesh, but to the future of music itself, as it gives the next generation of young musicians a place to cut their teeth, hone their craft, and grow into the voices of tomorrow, wrote the Foo Fighters frontman. The absence of live music this year has left us all longing for that communal feeling of connection, one that is best felt when joined in a song, Grohl continued. The Save Our Stages Act brings us one step closer to sharing that feeling again, one that I hope we can all experience again very soon. Every day, we're one step closer. See you there, Dave. Senators Amy Klobuchar and John Cronin introduced the Save Our Stages Act back in July, earmarking $10 billion for venue owners, promoters, and industry professionals to put towards rent, utilities, mortgages, PPE, and other costs. An additional $5 billion was later added for cultural institutions like museums and movie theaters. Klobuchar recently spoke to Rolling Stone about champion live music during the pandemic, hailing the bipartisan cause. One of the things that will go down when people look back at how we saved the music and wouldn't let it die was that this was such a bipartisan effort, and it was reflected in the fan base because it went from country music to rap to classical, she said. And it really did bring out the best in America in terms of what I consider one of the icons of our country culturally, but also one of our best economic drivers. And so it was that combination that we always knew existed in our country, but always gets pigeonholed into one area or another, and we were able to combine it.
Well, I can find my way, I know my left from right, because we never close, I'm open day and night. Towards the light, I'm open round the clock, I don't get lost at night.
Paul McCartney's Find My Way from his December 2020 album McCartney 3 introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Paul McCartney 3 Review. Melodic charm, craftsmanship, and open-minded optimism make this solo album a real treat. McCartney's mood-hopping rattlebag of a third solo album sounds more like a descendant of the Beatles' White Album than anything else. This is written by Helen Brown on the 17th of December 2020 in the independent.co.uk. Comparing notes with Taylor Swift on the DIY albums they both made in lockdown, Sir Paul McCartney reflected on the hard times he has survived. In the conversation arranged by Rolling Stone magazine, the 78-year-old legend reminded the 31-year-old pop star that he was born during the Second World War and grew up gripped by the war stories of the old ladies who lived in the same housing estate as him. He also told Swift how proud he was of a table he made himself. Dovetail joints, no matter. While at that bit of a loose end after the Beatles broke up. And he ended the conversation with a quirky anecdote about the time the Beatles' van slid into a roadside ditch during a blizzard. He describes the Fab Four stranded in the snow, standing in a stump circle until one of them said, "Well, something will happen." These anecdotes express the commitment to down-home storytelling, craftsmanship, and open-minded optimism that make his third solo album such a treat. It opens with an exhilarating blast of swamp blues, and the second track is the surprisingly comforting Find My Way, the song playing in the background now, a typically jaunty bit of McCartney diddifying on which the happy-go-lucky melody maker assures his more anxious friends and fans that he's there for us all day or night. You never used to be afraid of days like this, and now you're overwhelmed of your anxieties. and let me help you out. Let me be your guide. I can help you reach the love you feel inside. It reminds me of the stories of how, while imprisoned for drug possession in Japan in 1980, he would lead sing-alongs of songs like The Red, Red Robin in the communal showers to raise morale. You just have to smile. But at the center of this new album lies the marvelous 8-minute sonic adventure titled Deep, Deep Feeling, which wraps and shifts its shape, mixing dreamscape piano with trip-hoppy electronica as the singer muses on the deep, deep pain of feeling, emotion. Sometimes I wish it would stay. Sometimes I wish it would go away. It's interesting to hear him sitting with these ideas for so long. When asked how often he thinks of John Lennon, who was murdered 40 years ago on 8 December, he admits he's still in a degree of denial. Without a living Lennon to impress, McCartney now says he often imagines they're writing together again. I now will often think, if I'm writing a song, okay, John, I'll toss it over to you. What line comes next? So I've got a virtual John that I can use. Perhaps this explains why McCartney's mood-hopping rattlebag of a third solo album sounds more like a descendant of the Beatles' White Album than anything else. Weird, wonderful, and whimsical, McCartney 3 finds the walrus on inspirational form. It gets a thumbs up from me. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, how many pedals are there on pianos, is at A, 0, B, 2, C, 3 pedals, D, all the above, or E, none of the above? Correct answer? Answer D, all of those. As noted in the source, livingpianos.com, pianos originally had no pedals. Pedals on the piano are actually a modern development. Grand pianos have 3 pedals, and some modern pianos have just 2 pedals. The 3 pedals from left to right are called the soft pedal, or una corda, the sostenuto pedal, and the sustaining pedal, or damping pedal. The purpose of the pedals is to change the tone of the piano in some way. As Music Stack Exchange notes in 2017, the sostenuto pedal, middle ones, acts as a selective damper, sustaining only the notes depressed when that pedal is pressed. This pedal is sometimes known as a practice pedal, which brings a curtain in place between the hammers and the strings to make it very quiet, even when played hard, in order to be able to practice without disturbing others. Some pianos just omit this pedal, or have a middle pedal with this muting function, also known as silent piano. The damper pedal on the right, also called the sustain pedal, prolongs the sound of the piano by lifting all of the dampers off the strings. This sustains the sound and also allows all of the strings to vibrate sympathetically. The una corda pedal on the left thins the tone of the piano by shifting the entire keyboard and action slightly to the right so that the hammers do not strike all of the strings. The shifting of the action also allows the hammers to strike the string with a different portion of the hammerhead. Over time, the felt of the hammerhead can become compacted from repeatedly striking the strings. When the keyboard is shifted, the hammers strike the strings with a different, softer portion of the hammerhead, which affects the sound. And the answer to our second question, how often should a piano be tuned? A, not really required if you don't play it often. Or is it B, once every couple of years is sufficient? Or C, at least twice a year? Robert notes in livingpianos.com that the short answer to the question, how often should I have my piano tuned, is constantly. Pianos go out of tune as soon as you start playing them, and if you are practicing every day, it will require regular maintenance. Pianos benefit from regular maintenance, But let's be realistic. Most people are not going to be able to tune their pianos every week, let alone day. While you can buy a tuning hammer and a couple of wedges to tut up the piano, tuning is something you should leave to the professionals. There is an old saying among piano tuners, you can't tune an out-of-tune piano. And as strange as it sounds, there is some truth to it. If a piano hasn't been tuned in a very long time, it can be much harder to get it back in tune. For example, if the piano has dropped in pitch, as you tune different sections of the piano, previously tuned sections go out. So the general rule is that you should keep your piano in tune as much as you can. You never save by putting off a tuning. How much should you tune your piano really depends on how much you play it. If you play occasionally, you should think about tuning your piano at least twice a year because of seasonal weather changes, heat, air conditioning, and air conditioned back to heat. If you play more, you might want to get at least 4 pianos tunings a year, and if you practice a great deal, you'll want to get your piano tuned at least every month. Keep in mind, how tuning a piano is not like tuning other instruments like a guitar, for example. Sure, most guitarists can do it themselves, but piano tuning is truly a job better left to the professionals. So let's conclude today's program with this tuned piano piece by Petter Holland. This is Rachmaninoff playing Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long, until next time.